It is with wonderful pleasure, but with mixed emotions, that I'm going to bring this guy on, because he's only here in part. Only half of him is here. Not even half. The better half has not yet been told. We've seen the better half. We've seen the glory of the better half. Hallelujah. But one of my dearest friends in all the world, and a man that I love, a man that I respect, a man that I have learned so much from, is here today, and we're so glad that he came to Florida. And would you welcome our good friend, Gary Carpenter.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Do I have it on?
Yes.
Is it making noise? All right, we're leaving the pulpit up here for today. Here, you might need this, sir. I know you have it memorized, yes. But still. Now, I do know, this is not a revelation from the Lord, but I just know that we are going to have a special prayer line this week for eyes, because normally your eyes get a blessing when I come. You know, normally you get to see Sue, and I know that's a great healing for your eyes, but since she's not here this time, and I don't want you to be worried. Sue is fine. She's healthy and everything is good. All is well. But there are some other issues right now in the family at home. And she wanted to come. She was actually started packing to come. But the Lord just got it across to her like he has to get it. I'll be honest with you. What he said is absolutely true. Even as of the Dayton conference a few weeks ago, I was not 100%. Even though we had it on the itinerary, I was still not 100% sure that I was supposed to come this year. But during that conference, and I was sure, he told me without doubt. So Sue even started packing. I thought, okay, I think I even told you, she's coming, she's packing. And then the next day, the Lord got it across to her that her need, he needed, how many of you know that the idea is not just to pray, the idea is to pray and obey. Well, he got it across to her, he needs her there this week, and so praise God. But everything's fine. She's wonderful, and like he said, not even half is here. So there's two things in this world that I told you. Talk about the great mystery. I've been praying for many years, and I thank God for the mysteries He's shown me. But there's two mysteries that I don't know if I'll ever understand. There's just two things I really know they're true, but I don't understand why. Number one is Jesus loves me, and the second one is Sue loves me. I don't understand why on either one, but I'm sure glad they do. I'm telling you right now. Dave wanted me specifically to greet you. When he talks about this church, he always says to me, like, he says it like this: "Now, Gary, when are you and I going again?" And I said, "No, I go and then you go." Oh, you know. And by the way, we had Dave's 71st birthday during the conference. I've got pictures if you guys want to see after the service. I brought my iPad. They look really good on that, of his birthday party. We had so many people. This happened up in Dayton, Ohio during the conference. We had so many people there. It took 31 pizzas to feed them all. I don't know how many pitchers of soft drinks and everything. I'll go ahead and tell you this one. This year at the Dayton conference, that's Jim Martin's when I say the Dayton conference. Last year at that conference, an Amish couple came, and very Amish, you know, the man has the beard. Thank God it's the man that had the beard. I mean, you just see them. They are like they're the perfect Amish couple, you know, young, probably about 40 years old, maybe, I don't know. He had the beard, and she had, you know, that little white bonnet thing that they wear, a little starched white bonnet. Well, both of them got baptized in the Holy Ghost last year, speaking with other tongues, you know. And they took like a bunch of books back into their community, Dave's book. And so now they've been suffering a little persecution this year. They're kind of on the blacklist, you know. But they're standing strong. And so they brought another couple with them from that community, and very Amish. In fact, the woman was pregnant with her 14th child. Okay? All right? We're talking Amish here, okay? You know? Somebody said, praise God. They got filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues this time. But now during one of the services of Dave's, and you know Dave is just Dave. You know, he's all just being Dave and letting the Holy Ghost use him. That first girl, the one that come the first year, she got so free during one of those services. Now this is a big step. She took that bonnet off and threw it across the church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I mean, that's a big step when somebody's been raised in legalism their whole life. And to just get that free. Well, Dave's birthday was a couple of days after that. She gave him, for her birthday present, that bonnet. I've got a picture of him wearing it. For a love offering of 1995, I've got it. If you want to see it, just see me after the service, and we'll look at that and then some other ones. And how many of you know Dave loves strawberry shakes? Does anyone know Dave that well? Can I tell stories? Maybe I can't. Is that me? Did I do that? Let me tell some stories here for a minute. For most of the years that I've been at the prayer center, which this is our 22nd year, I have not been able to travel with Dave, because most of the time when Dave would be gone, then they would want me to stay and teach. Well, now we've got enough other teachers that I get to travel some. So I got to go with Dave to Washington State this year. First time I've ever got to really travel with him like that. And I've known Dave a long time. I already know that he's the same anywhere as he is in the pulpit. I mean, you don't see one guy in the pulpit and another guy away. But I never have been around Dave on these trips before. Now, how many of you know, any town we go to, anywhere he wants to eat, we would take him. I mean, if he just says steak, we're headed to the steakhouse. Lobster, headed to the lobster. Anything that the man wants. So I'm telling him up there, and I'm the driver. I get to drive most of the time. I said, now, what would you like to eat, Dave? We got everything in the world around here. He thinks a minute, and he goes, well, do they have nuggets? Nuggets, chicken nuggets? Yeah. McDonald's? Oh, and his eyes got big. Do they have McDonald's? Well, I'm sure they probably do, you know. But there's Olive Garden, there's seafood, there's steakhouses. Do they have McDonald's? So almost, now not every meal, but nearly every evening, especially after church, what he wants is 20-piece chicken nuggets, fries, a cup of coffee. Dave can drink black coffee right before bed and go out to sleep. I don't know. Black coffee, oh, of course, and a strawberry shake, you know. Well, okay, so we did that. Now, the last night we were up there, we had a wonderful meeting at a Four Square church. I mean, it was a landslide. I mean, nearly everybody there, and there was probably, I don't know, about 100 to 200 people, something like that. Nearly everybody either got prayed for, filled with the Holy Ghost. We had so many healings and things happening. It was a long service. But right at, you know, it's probably midnight or after as we're getting out, but right across the parking lot from that place, sure enough, there's a McDonald's. And he said, I said, are you hungry? He said, yeah, we could have a little snack, you know. What would you like? You want to repeat it with me? 20-piece chicken nuggets, fries, cup of coffee, a strawberry shake. But this time he said, well, it's so late, we can probably skip the fries tonight. Okay. So I drive over there and we're going through the line, right? We're going through the line. We come up to the speaker and I'm giving the order. I said, well, we need 20-piece nuggets. We need a cup of coffee. We need a strawberry shake. And I feel his hand on my arm. Oh, go ahead and get those fries. 71 years old, and I'm telling you, he says he feels better now than he did in his 40s and 50s. You should have seen him. He's just, wasn't he a live wire? And just today, in fact, this very day, he's in Virginia preaching while I'm here. And I think Alan's with him. I'm not positive about that. Now, I want to say one other thing. I like to hear what the Spirit's been saying wherever I go to preach, you know, if I have the opportunity. So I got to listen to two or three messages, recent ones, by Pastor Bronk and Homer. I listened to a couple of Homers, too. I got to tell you, you guys have some of the most fabulous teaching here. The more I listen to Candy's, a couple of her exhortations. I mean, this woman can teach. She's full of the Word, you know. The more I listened, the more I thought, and you sent me here, why? I don't understand, you know. But anyway, I got to tell this. Have you done the graduation offering since you've been here?
Yeah. It wasn't as effective up there.
You know which one I'm talking about. Jim likes to put Bronk and I in competition a little bit, like kind of like a sibling rivalry almost on those offerings up there. You know, I'll do one, then he has Bronk do one, then I'll do it. And it's almost like, okay, who can out-teach the, not to get the most offering, but it's who can give the best revelation, you know. He did that one. The next service, I just got the white hanky out. I said, I surrender. I bow, I surrender. There is no getting past that. Praise God. Now, let me think if there's any. Oh, I want to tell you about this. How many of you know it's difficult to get Dave's book in printed form now? You know, it's just, it's hard, right? I wanted to let you know there's it's available in PDF format. Of course, you've known that for years. You can download it, but that's not the most easy thing. How many of you are familiar with Kindle? If I say the word Kindle, do you at least know what it is? And there's a free app. If you use a computer or an iPhone or an iPad, there's a free Kindle app. It doesn't cost you anything. Dave's book is now available in Kindle format. And I really like Kindle format because you can highlight portions in yellow. You can add your own notes, a thought that you have while you're reading that might apply to your life, you know. And so I just want to let you know that it's available. Now, Amazon, the Kindle people, they will not allow us to do anything for free. So the minimum charge is 99 cents, okay? So it does cost you 99 cents. If any of you want it and you don't have a dollar, see me after the service and I'll give you one, okay? I'm serious, you know? Or if you're serious, if you're listening to this and you don't have a dollar, get in touch with me through our website, or I'm sure Bronk will give you a dollar, okay? And you can have it. It's wonderful to have it on your phone, to have it on your iPad or some way, and it's just really, really good to have. So I wanted you to know for sure that that Kindle thing is available, okay? Hallelujah, I love it, yeah. I don't remember if there's any other announcements I'm supposed to make. And hopefully I'll get out of my mind and into his in just a minute here. I'm checking my mind right now. Okay. Yes, sir. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. Of course, as you can imagine, I pray before we, a lot. And I drove down again. Part of the reason why I like to drive is I have that quiet time where I can pray. When I drove to Dayton, it's about a, you know, 15-hour drive, split it up over 2 days. I drove, and Dave flew, okay? So when I saw Dave, once he got there, and I saw him, I said, is your throat sore? He said, no, my throat's not sore. I said, well, I thought it would be because you preached to me for 10 hours straight on the way up here. I've got Dave, of course, on my iPod, and I was listening to the Born Again Trail again, Volume 1. I heard all of it, all of Volume 1 on the way up, but I heard all of Volume 2 on the way back, and I've heard Volume 3 on the way down here. I'm going to tell you again, if you have never heard The Born Again Trail by Dave Roberson, you already have your homework assignment. You have got to get that in you. If you now, there's six, this is not an easy, it's not a short thing, there's six volumes, 10 roughly hour-long messages in each volume. That's 60 messages, okay? There is more revelation knowledge in the first 20 minutes of Volume 1, Tape 1. I am not exaggerating. In that first 20 minutes, there is more revelation knowledge than I probably got in 20 years in a denominational church. It's astounding what is on there. So even if you have heard it, but it's been 5 years or 3 years, you have grown since then. We have all grown. I was listening to it this time, and I heard things. I was going, when did they add that to the Born Again Trail? And I know it was on there before, but apparently I didn't have ears to hear. You know, Dave says revelation knowledge is very much like, you know, he says we ask roof questions. We want to know these big roof questions all the time, and often we don't have walls yet, walls of revelation built up on the inside of us that'll support that roof. Well, I found out there's some things in there that apparently the first time I went through all those, I could receive at a certain level, but my walls are taller. I could receive elevation that I didn't get before. And so I highly recommend that series. And Okay, while we're at it, I'll just recommend one. This is the advertising service. I'm just going to advertise things, you know. And, okay, hang on. Yes, sir, I'll go ahead and just mention this. He's about ready to move now, so we're going to get into it. Sorry, but those of you that know me, incoming, sorry. Okay. I'll just mention this other one. He's got one, they've got a new series now at his website, a new section rather. It's called Advanced Studies in the Born Again Trail. One of those, the title is something like Our Glorified Bodies. That may not be exactly it, but it's right along. It mentions glorified bodies in it. Dave tackles some really difficult questions in there that I've never heard anybody tackle before. Do y'all remember during the crucifixion and the curtain was rent in the temple? And do you remember it says the rocks were rent and other people come out of the grave? You know, other people to walk around Jerusalem. Dave asked some good questions. He says, well, who were they? And what happened to them later? Did they walk around for a while? Did they die again? Where was your tomb? Have to go bury them again? Or what happened with them? Pretty good question, don't you think? That's enough. I'm telling you, there are some wonderful, wonderful, yes, sir. Years ago, I didn't know. I was afraid that people had their bodies cremated. I was always afraid of that. I mean, if he comes back for my body and I cremated it, now what? Dave got me free of that. He says, well, what if you were a sailor back in the 14 or 1500s and your ship went down at sea and a shark ate your body and now you're shark poop? Sorry. That's okay, isn't it? And it's been 200 years of ocean on the poop, and now you're just, you know. I recommend that series to you. Would you believe the answers to all of that is in here? It's amazing what all is in here. All right, I think the service is going to start now. All right, let me look at this. I need a chair, a single chair, set right about in this area here, if we have one. And as you can see, I brought a hula hoop. No, I am not going to hula hoop for you. I would if I could. This is the only way that I can hula hoop now. Whoop! See, I can't even do that very well. Come here. Can do this, I think. Yep, okay. All right. Open up to Isaiah 55. That's why I said I might have that marked when he said Isaiah 55 today. And just hold your place in Isaiah 55, but go to Luke 18. We're going to start there. Luke 18. I'm just going to look at one verse. And I'm going to go ahead and say this. I didn't think it would come right now, but I'll just work here. This is what the incoming was a while ago. I was sharing this with Pastor. As I was praying, getting ready for the service this morning. Listen to me. There is nothing impossible with God. If you've got a Bible, or if you don't have it, if you've got a Bible on an iPad or an iPhone, or if you don't have anything, just hold your hand out in faith. Hold it out there. This is the vision I saw. God, with His Word, He's saying, I have provided possible for every impossible. I have provided possible for every impossible. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what your body says. I don't care what the courts say. I don't care what the doctors say. I have provided possible for your impossible. I remember years ago, I had a daughter. My youngest daughter was facing 12 years in prison. You know, you talk about rebellious children. Most people think, well, they're drinking beer and messing around. Well, okay, that's rebellious, all right. How about interstate transportation of stolen firearms? And she was, the sad news was, she was guilty. Gets real quiet every time I say that in church. Yeah, her and this friend, boyfriend of hers at the time, interstate transportation of stolen firearms. And boy, it looked bad, I'm telling you. And the trouble was, she was guilty. She did it. And the enemy's coming. And they're facing 12 years. 12 years in prison. How serious is that? God gave me a word. I'm going to go ahead and do this. I'm not in charge here. Okay, we are going to come back. Well, here, we'll read the verse. It says, you're in Luke 18, then we'll go to it. Look at Luke 18, look at verse 27. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Did you get that?
Yes.
The things which are there are things which are impossible with men. But I'm telling you, there is no such thing as impossible with God. Go to Isaiah 49. I didn't know what to do. This was quite a few years ago. By the way, my daughter is serving the Lord. All three of them are. I thank God for that. But at the time, it looked really bad with my youngest one. Isaiah 49, look at verses 24 and 25. Don't read it yet. What I didn't know was, I was going, God, I understand that you can deliver us, you know, but what if you're guilty? I mean, she really did do it. I don't know what to do now. You know, I didn't know. Then the devil was just beating my brains out. Things like, you didn't raise her like this. She knows better than this. She chose this on her own. Any parents in here? Everyone say, on and on and on. You know, the devil just beating my brain. And I didn't know what to do. I was going, God, I know she wasn't right. She chose this. What am I supposed to do now? Look at this. I didn't even know this was in here. I don't remember now how he got these verses to me, but somehow he got them to me. In the King James, it says, Isaiah 49, verse 24, shall the prey, P-R-E-Y, be taken from the mighty? Now get this, or the lawful captive delivered? Well, that was my question. Amanda was a lawful captive. She had been arrested lawfully, legally, because she was guilty. So can they? Can they be delivered? I didn't know. Thank God there's another verse after that one. That was my question. God, what about my daughter? She's guilty. She's a lawful captive. Looks like she's going to be facing 12 years. I'll just go ahead and tell you this, by the way. She was pregnant. You want to see my granddaughter? Glory to God. Her motto, she has a motto. She has it everywhere in her apartment. Ordered steps. That means to her, my steps are ordered by the Lord. That's the daughter she was pregnant with, by the way. Anyway. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? Thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. The prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. He provided a possible for my impossible. Now there was a lot more. We started confessing that, holding this up before God, said, God, this is in your word. I found the answer. Even the lawful captive can be delivered. We're turning our daughter over to you. And I got to tell you, she was still in rebellion at the time. She, even though she was caught and in that little filthy jail in Jay, Oklahoma. I'm telling you, my heart broke first time I saw that place. That old jail was 100 years old, and the cells are down in the basement part. And it's kind of a semi... There's the only light in there was these little slit of a window up near the ceiling. That part was above ground, but the rest of it was like a basement. Smelled musty like a basement does, you know, cinder block construction and little metal bed that fell down, you know, come down from the wall. And my baby, my youngest, to see her there, I could have got her out for $2,000 bail. Not a big problem. And the Lord said no. Hardest thing I ever did in my life was leave her in there. Because he told me, he said, there's no repentance in her heart. He says, do not deliver the prodigal until the prodigal repents. I'm telling you, you talk about obeying God, that's probably in my life. That may be, it's right up there in the top five of the hardest five things I've ever had to do in my life was walk away from there. And her knowing I had the money to get her out. And said, no, I can't get you out. Because I had told them their whole life, if you do the crime, you're going to do the time. I said, there's one kind of money I'll never have, and that's bail money if you're guilty. And now I had to live by my words. But that's not really why. I'll be honest with you, I probably would have done it, except the Lord said no. I had to leave her in there for 30 days. 30 days. Still. Finally, I went to see her. And this time her eyes were different. Finally, the Lord was able to get it across to her. Even, you know, the prodigal had to come to himself. Did you ever notice it says, I mean, he was out there, he spent all of his inheritance. Finally, he winds up just to survive. For a Jew, it doesn't get any lower than this. He was feeding the pigs. And even that, he was so hungry. Can you imagine for a Jew? He was about to put his face in the trough with the pigs and eat the same slop they were eating. And finally, there's a verse right there, there's a line that says, and no man gave unto him. In the margin of my Bible, I wrote, thank God. Thank God. I tell you, we have become a culture of enablers. God is the best helper of all, but he is not an enabler. Sometimes you got to come to your end of yourself. I say it this way, sometimes you got to hit bottom. Sometimes got to hit bottom and bounce a couple of times. That was me. Bouncing. Before you finally come to yourself. But finally she did, and I saw it in her eyes. When somebody really repents now, you can tell it. And the Lord said, okay, get her out. Then I wasn't really intended. I had none of this in my mind to say at all, but listen to me. I had to follow the steps of the Lord. You have to go through all of the legal things. You got to hire a lawyer and all of that. I wanted John Wayne. Who would you want for your daughter? I wanted John Wayne to come out with both guns blazing. You know, fill your hand, you SOB. I mean, that's who I wanted. Say, clean that up. I did clean it up. If you've seen the movie. You're in church. I know. That's who I wanted. John Wayne with both guns blazing. I asked the Lord who to hire. The little mousiest, timid, mumble-mouthed. You gave me Wally Cox. Those of you that are old enough to remember. Little wimp of a guy, you know. But see, come to find out, that guy, I didn't even know it. He was a believing lawyer, you know. It's kind of hard to find one of those. This guy had faith. But I'm telling you, he was handpicked by God. He was the guy. And something got accomplished there. This lawyer told me later, he says, the only defense we have, she's guilty as sin. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. The only possible defense we have is to try and get her recertified as a juvenile. Because at the time she did it, she was 17, but I mean, she was just like 2 months from being 18. She was real close. And he said, I've seen this attempted many times. I've never once ever seen it accomplished, but it's the only chance we have. Ours was the first time ever in that county. She got recertified as a juvenile. Repentance was really there, and her records have been expunged. It's like, that's why I pray. You'll hear me pray often. Father, make it like it never happened. And God is able to do that. I'm telling you, God's word, there is a possible for every impossible, even if Gary drops his papers. Hallelujah. By the way, there's less of me this year, not just by Sue not being here. On the way home from this meeting last year, June the 2nd, was on the way home last year, was getting close to Tulsa. How many of you know the Lord can say one sentence and change your life? Just as plain as you're hearing my voice, I heard him. To me, it was audible, but Sue says she didn't hear it in the car. I heard him say to me, this was June the 2nd, be under 200 pounds by the October conference. Well, at that day, I'll just go ahead and tell you, I'm only 5'7". I weighed 235 pounds. Okay, so I started computing that up. I got an app for that. There's an app for it. It's called MyFitnessPal. I downloaded it, and you put in your weight and your height and how much do you need to lose and when do you need to lose it. And so, oh my God, I calculated it all out. And it was so few calories a day. I'm not sure I can do that, But the Lord have y'all ever tried to get the Lord to change his mind? Have y'all had much success with that? You tell me how you did it, because I'm going to have to actually do the unthinkable. I'm going to have to join a gym. And you know what? I found out something horrible. I found out joining a gym doesn't cause you to lose weight. I joined and I stayed the same. I found out you actually had to go. And then I found out just sitting in the parking lot there doesn't work either. You got to go sweat and stuff. You got to actually go do stuff. But anyway, the day the conference started, I was 199 pounds. Glory to God. Since then, I've dropped it on down to 190, okay? But then every time I get back off one of these conferences, I'm about 195. So I'm trying to stay in that range now, 190 to 195. And I know I could still lose more, but at my age now, it just make me look older. So this is good enough, okay? He hadn't said to have get any less, okay? Leave me alone. See, well, why did he do that? I don't know. Maybe he's just trying to extend my life. Tim thinks it's because there's going to be more video in my future. I don't know. Seriously, he thinks that's why. And I don't know why. I just know. See, and you don't always have to know why. You just have to know what. He told me one time, he says, I'll answer questions regarding what, how, when. He said, I'll answer questions if you don't understand about how to do something or what or when or where. But he says, I don't always answer questions about why. He says, usually those questions just generate delay. It's a Lord issue. Got that? Who is Lord? Oh, yeah, it's not me. Oh, yeah. So we started over there in Luke 18. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Now, going to Isaiah 55, I think I had you go there. This has been one of my favorite passages forever. I've always loved this passage here, starting in verse 8, all the way through the end of the chapter. The pastor even mentioned it during the offering today. And I have thought about it correctly. We've all thought about it correctly to a certain degree. How many of you know Romans 12:2 says, let's read these verses. I'm sorry. For my thoughts, verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Let's think about Romans 12:2. Brethren, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. You remember that? Well, hey, we are very transformed. We've had good teaching for years, and we don't think the way the world does about sin. We don't think the way the world does about righteousness. We don't think the way the world does about abortion. We are very renewed in a lot of ways. But where he's taking us now, into revival, he just started asking me some questions that, quite frankly, they're just kind of hurt. And now I get to ask them of you. Are you ready? He asked me here recently. He says, now, if that would have been you at the wedding in Cana, and they ran out of wine, and someone turned to you, Jesus' mother turned to him and said, they've run out of wine. Would your first thought have been, well, just bring me some water? Would that have been your first thought? Just bring some water. We'll just turn water into wine. I shouldn't say this in church, but I'm going to. My first thought would probably be, they need wine? Where's the nearest liquor store? Where is there a winery? Or where are we going to go get wine? Then he started talking to me about, the feeding of the 5,000. Here we got 5,000 men, plus women and children. So we're probably looking at 10 to 15,000. That's a lot of people. And they've been already with Jesus 3 days out in the wilderness, right? 3 days. And the disciples are, they're thinking like normal people think. They're thinking, well, these people are hungry. we should go into town and buy groceries and victuals, I think they victuals, and bring back food. Now see, if they'd have said, if I'd have been running that meeting, and they'd have said that to me, I'd be, we don't know? Okay. Maybe it's worms. No? Sometimes when you move, it'll, anyway. If that would have been me, I'd go, you guys are going into town? Hey, could you get me a ham and cheese sandwich or something? Thinking in the natural. How many of us would think, well, what do we have here? A little boy's lunch? And I've heard great theologians with PhDs after their name, you know, go, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Well, the loaves were a lot bigger back then. 15,000 people? Come on, it's a little boy's lunch. Come on. You can get an educated clear past your intellect. I'm telling you right now, you know. And the miracle to me, you know, it's our thinking. It's one level. If Jesus would have walked through the crowd passing out the bread and the fish, that would have been a miracle, right? We'd have thought, okay, multiply it in his hands. See, that's not even how it happened. He took the little loaves and fishes, said he looked up to heaven, he blessed them, asked the Father to bless it, you know. Now, he then broke it, all right, and gave it to each of the disciples. Had the people sit down by 50s, remember? So here's, I'm trying to picture, I always picture Peter. We can all relate with Peter, right? Here's Peter with his little broken fragments in a basket, maybe. And there's groups of 50s, far as the eye can see. And he's looking at the basket. And he's looking back at Jesus. Jesus doesn't appear worried. And Peter starts passing it out, along with the other 12, all of them. I wonder what it was like. Peter gives it to the first person, reaches back and looks in the basket. It's none diminished. Gives it to the next person. It's none diminished. Keeps giving it out, giving it out, giving it out. And when they get through, each of the 12 had a whole basket full. Didn't it say 12 baskets full? Our thinking, be not conformed to this world. Thank God we don't think like the world does about abortion and sin and all of that. But where we're going now, we're going into real revival. We're going into the realm where the world goes impossible. And we go, no. Possible. So here in Isaiah, verse 8 again, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now here comes this illustration. I have understood that to a certain level for many years. But recently, somebody gave me a book. It's an old book, first published, I think, in the 20s, 1920s. The title of it is The Fourth Dimension and the Bible. It's written by a mathematician who was also a believer. Now the fourth dimension that they're talking about there is not time. A lot of people say, well, the fourth dimension is time. No. He's talking about a spatial dimension. Now, I'm going to mention a word, and before I mention it, I need the ushers to lock the doors, because I'm going to mention the word geometry. Math. Oh, my God. Let me out of here. Now, you're going to understand this. It's very, very simple. Now, most of you know my testimony is a truck driver, but most of you probably already also know I am an engineer. I have an engineering degree. I like math, I like science, I like all of that stuff. I'm a Trekkie from the time Star Trek first ever come out. I like all that stuff, you know. And so my the way I'm wired, the way this book was written, explosions just went off in my spirit. I understand things differently than I did before. And my calling in the body, my job, is to take complex, difficult things and get them down simple, where we can all understand it and walk in it, amen? You know, scientists, like, I consider Dave to be the scientist, you know, they like E equal MC squared. I like that too. But, you know, the engineer, they come along kind of behind the scientists, and they're picking up the scientists' notes off the floor, you know, and they're going, E=MC, you know, I think we could make a toaster out of this. That'll help people, you know. Get it down practical where we can understand it. So here, we're going to have a geometry lesson, okay? This is from that book, The Fourth Dimension and the Bible. And we're going to introduce it today. At Jim's, I taught four times, and I did the illustration I'm about to show you four times. Now, at the end, he would, because I don't know exactly why the Lord did that. It might have been because there was different people there. But now, at the end, he brought out different flavors from that illustration. But today, you're going to get the basic illustration, okay? Now, if you're listening to this message, I am going to do my best to describe everything that's going on here. But I'm just telling you now, this particular lesson is better seen than heard. There are visual demonstrations in it. And if you would like to see it, you can see it at my website, garycarpenter.org. It's the most recent message as of when I'm speaking right now. It's called Higher Thoughts and Higher Ways. And it's there in audio format. It's also there in YouTube. You can click vid, V-I-D, and watch it on YouTube. So that's one way you can see it. It's also at Dave Roberson's website with the same title. Or you could go to Jim Martin's website, and during the Prayer and Power Conference, it's there in visual form four times. Okay, enough of that. Boy, this is advertising day. You know. All right, geometry. How many are excited about geometry? Don't raise your hands. Okay, I already. All right, in plane geometry, plane, there is the simplest, smallest thing in geometry is a dot. One little dot, okay? A dot, really, if you could picture it with no dimension, no width, height, nothing, just boink, a little dot. That's the simplest thing that there is in geometry. A line, theoretically, in geometry, what is that? A line is a series of dots, right? And it doesn't have to be straight. It could be a curved line. But a line is a series of dots. So now, when Cole was about, you know, he's my grandson. When he was about 5 years old, he used to ask me, Papa, can you pretend? He'd say, Papa, you see that lion in the tree? I'd go, no, I don't see it. Papa, can you pretend? Congregation, can you pretend with me for a little bit here? Let's pretend. I want to talk about a universe that's called line land. In that universe, now, for to illustrate this, and if you guys can't see, it's okay. We're a family, right? Get up and come forward and watch, okay? But there's a blue line that they put on the carpet here with tape. Green wouldn't work because the carpet's kind of green. So we got a blue line, and it's just a straight line. Now, pretend with me that there is a universe called line land, and in that universe, there is only length. Now, you see me living in it, but if I'm standing here, but I'm a dot. Okay, I'm a dot. I have no volume, I have no width, no height. I'm a dot, but I'm a guy. I live in line land, and I'm happy. Man, my little universe is just so good. I can go this way, I can go this way. As long as I stay on this line, everything is great. And actually, I've been to line land university. I've been educated in what's possible in line land. I know what's possible and not possible. I understand the physics of my universe quite well. I'm just so happy. And there's other people. And as long as we just stay on line land, everything is great. Oh, by the way, I went to line land seminary, and I know what's possible with God also. I know what's possible with God and what's not possible. Oh, I'm just so happy in my little line land, and everything is wonderful. Until suddenly I'm going about my daily line land activities, and there's an obstacle on the line. And I come up to it. How many of you ever heard Dave say, cow at a new gate? That wasn't here yesterday. And you look, what? Now remember, there is no, in this universe, there's not even the concept, there's not even the thought of left, right, width, height, depth. Not even a thought of that. All there is forward, backward, line, land. That's all there is. And I come up against this and I'm going, I've been going this way forever. And all of a sudden I'm up against this obstacle. There's nothing I can do. Have you ever seen anything like this? No, we've never seen anything like this. And oh my God, this is terrible. I need you just for a minute. Okay? And it's impossible. I can't get past here. This is an impossible. Woe is me. All is lost. Just go up one step. This fella here, he doesn't live in Lineland. He lives in Flatland. Flatland, if I had a sheet of paper, just a sheet of paper, it's like it has length, like a sheet of paper, and width. Now, there's no height. There's no depth. But Flatland people, they understand width. Lineland people do not. Now, he's kind of a benevolent person, and just pretend with me, he can see me, but I can't see him. But he's watching me in my dilemma. And it's impossible. It's impossible. And he's watching me. He's kind of a benevolent person, you know, and he's going, oh, I can't stand this. The poor guy's in torment. So he comes down from where he is. Now, I still can't see him. He puts his hand on me, and he just, because he understands width, he just moves me around to the right. Now, by the way, when he does that, to all the people in Lineland, I disappear. I disappear. Do you ever hear of a verse, and Enoch was not? God took him? Anyway, okay. And everybody behind me, where did Gary go? Dot Gary was right there. I saw Dot Gary, he was there. And then he was just gone. I'm telling you, we don't know what happened. And he moves me around, and he sets me back on the line. I go back up there. And as soon as I come back, I reappear, and they go, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. He got past the problem. But to him, he's going, oh, brother. You know, this is like Jane see the ball to him. I mean, this is like, we're all, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. Okay. Well, now he thinks he's kind of a hot rod. We're going to talk about the Flatland guy for a minute. So in his universe, there's not just length. There's width. He lives in a two-dimensional universe. And see, his range of motion is quite a bit larger. He doesn't have to just stay on the line. He can go left and right, and he can go anywhere he wants to go. And by the way, he's been to Flatland University, and he's pretty educated in the physics of his universe. And he also went to Flatland Seminary, and he knows what's possible with God, and everything is fine. He says, those poor little Linelanders, they're so ignorant. You know, they just don't know what they're doing. I'm so glad I'm an educated person. And he's fine until he comes to some kind of obstacle. And he needs to get to now, for benefit of those that can't see, I took a hula hoop and I placed it down in front of him. It has nothing to do with the line. A hula hoop, his goal is to get to the center of where the hula hoop is. Now, he's a dot. The hula hoop is a series of dots connected. There is no over. There's no concept of over. There's no concept of under. For him, if he's going to get to the center, he starts going around it. Well, maybe there's an opening. Maybe there's a window or a door or something. I've got to get to the center of this thing. Oh, my goodness. There's no opening. I go right. I go left. I go backwards. I go forward. Nothing. It's impossible. Oh, it's impossible. I can't get to the line. I just can't get to the line. Bronk, you've seen this. I can't. Now, Bronk, go up two steps. See, Bronk is more exalted than the Flatlanders. He lives in Earth. Bronk lives in Earthland. Yeah, that's where we live. He lives in a three-dimensional universe where there's not only length, there is width, like Flatlanders, but in our world, we also have what? We have height, we have depth, we understand vertical. So this benevolent person, he's watching, you know, and he's going around and around the circle. It's impossible. I can't get in it. I've got to get to the center of this thing. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And finally, this benevolent person, he just comes down. Now, he can't see. He can't see this benevolent person. But suddenly, he says, well, I'm going to help this guy out with his problem. And he just picks him up. Now, when he picked him up, all of us in Earthland, he disappeared. Does that remind you of a verse? And Philip was found at Azotus. Remember, he was preaching to the eunuch? Let me just tell you, Trinity Airlines is coming back to the church. You may be preaching in Russia by this evening. I'm serious as I can be. Our God has not forgot how to do that. You say, well, I don't have the money for an airline ticket. Don't need one. Don't need one. You can just be there. Now, would you say that his ways were higher, let's say it for benefit, the Earthlander's ways, his thoughts, were higher than the Flatlander's ways and his thoughts? Yet the Flatlander's ways was higher than the Linelander. How was the Linelander? Higher than the Linelander. I was going, who's the Linelander? Oh, yeah, it's me. Okay. I was looking around. Higher than the Linelander. I mean, suddenly I'm going, oh, my goodness. Does that help illustrate that? I shouldn't have made you. Okay. See, when you're in another church and you're illustrating things, you young ministers, let me give you a tip. Always make the pastor God. Go sit in your exalted position. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Now, here we are with our dilemmas. We're through with that. Here we are with our dilemmas in our life. We come up to an obstacle. It's cancer. You know, they gave me 6 months to live, by the way, back in the early 90s. That's about 90 or 91 now. I can't even remember. How many of you know that's been a long 6 months? That's been a long... I was diagnosed with an incurable heart disease in the 90s. And this one took a two-year period for the Lord to cure me. It wasn't terminal, but it was incurable. They said I'd always have to take that medicine until the day I died. Trouble is, that medicine, one of the side effects of it, is it increases the onset of arthritis, which I sure didn't need going into my 50s, okay? Well, incurable or not, I don't care what the doctors say. Their impossible is God's possible. I haven't had a dose of that medicine since 1998. Can you tell I didn't die? You know, and I don't have those. Now, the devil, I'll just be honest with you, two or three times in those years, the enemy's tried to put those symptoms back on me. You know, even with Jesus, said he, after the temptation, it said he left him till a more opportune time. The devil will circle back around and try your ground again. You need to know you got to be ready for that. See? But I recognized it every time those symptoms. I said, no! I've been healed of that, but you're not putting that on me anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. Praise God. So anyway, we face our dilemmas, whatever they are, children in prison, cancer, I don't care what it is. The enemy's job is to make it impossible. And to us, with our natural ways, it is. It was impossible for the Linelander. It was impossible for the Flatlander without the Earthlander's help, is what I'm saying. Get this, it is impossible. You depend on man. He that trusts in man, that's a snare. You understand? It is impossible. He didn't say they're not impossible. He said the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. So here we're facing our dilemma. And I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. It looks like this time surely it's the end, and the enemy's always trying to, he'll give you a hangnail and try and get you to commit suicide over it. It's surely it's all over now. You know, you got to give it up. It's a hangnail. It's all over now. Just kill yourself and be done with it. I mean, that guy, he's crazy. Don't listen to him. He's nuts. God's sitting up here going, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, I hadn't done this one. You haven't seen this one. Not this way. I hadn't seen it either. I just saw it on the way here. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See, the real dilemma for man, hula hoop again, the real dilemma for man is God gave us his law and said, stop sinning. And man tried. Now, he gave it to the Jews, and for hundreds of years, they tried. And millions of gallons of animal blood had to be shed just to keep them in a position where God could keep dealing with them and preserving the seed until Christ could come. It was impossible with man. Why? Because man had a nature passed down to him from the first man, Adam. The guy in Romans 7, he says, Lord, with my mind I agree that your law is good and holy and just. I wouldn't even have known coveting was wrong, except your law said don't covet. But he says, so I made up my mind. I wasn't going to do that anymore. I wasn't going to do any evil thing anymore. And I was going to do all these good things. But the evil I wasn't going to do, I wound up doing that. Those good things I was going to do, I never really got around to that either. And for hundreds of years, they were trying to keep the law. God's up there going, my ways
I have an answer for you. My ways are higher than your ways. And I need somebody to be Jesus. Make it good. Jesus, come right up here. So what does God do? Now, for the purpose of this lesson, you got to understand. I didn't even get much into fourth dimension. We'll do that later this week. I don't think it's really a dimension. What we call where God lives is a different realm. Let's call it the realm of the spirit. The physics there are just flat different than the physics here. Although they're starting to find out. You know, how many of you knows we live in a Newtonian, when you go to school, they teach you about Newtonian physics. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction type of thing. F force equals mass times acceleration, and all those formulas. And at our level, that's true. But you know, when you get down into quantum physics, it's not true. Did you know? See, and the more you break it down, you're getting down to the building blocks of where we live. I mean, to me, it's almost like closer to the spirit realm, you know, because that's the building blocks of all that we are. Did you know that in the quantum physics, two things can exist in the same space at one time? Let's say it another way. One thing can exist in two different places at the same time. None of our Newtonian laws apply there. And it makes me think, dear Lord, if we can even discover that here in our natural world, what are the physics of that world? What's possible from there? So God sends us a visitor that we know as Jesus Christ. Now, before he solves the sin problem, first, he gets anointed by the Holy Ghost, and this is all we're going to have time for today. He gets anointed by the Holy Ghost. We get to watch what God calls normal for a son of God, for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What do we see? The blind see, the lame walk. I was reading again today about the man born lame from his mother's womb, and he was over 40 years old. Now, if you've already been on the planet 40 years and you've never known anything but being lame in both feet, beggar, would you say your mind is pretty well set by that point? This is the way it's going to be. But it wasn't even Jesus. It was a believer in Jesus. The power of that name, even that level, bam, what was impossible with man, possible with God. We watch it all through Matthew, Mark, the blind. This man from this other world, he spits on the ground and makes clay and puts it on the blind man's eyes and says, go wash. And the guy comes away seeing. He's interviewed by the Pharisees. At one point he says, since the beginning of the world, it has never been recorded that someone born blind came away seeing. And yet you're wondering if this man is of God. Religion will make you really stupid. Anyway, we watched this fellow, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what's amazing, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This is what the Father, this is his will. I call Jesus the will of the Father with legs. You came too late to tell me God doesn't heal today. You came too late to tell me He doesn't do miracles today. You came too late to tell me that your case is impossible. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how long you've had it. Nothing is impossible with our God. But the biggest question, the hardest one of all. See, he said greater works than these. Greater. The one thing that Jesus never got to do in his own earthly ministry was raise anybody. He raised them from physical death, but he never raised anybody from spiritual death. You got that? What he had to do, he who knew no sin, he had to become sin. See, sin was our dilemma. We couldn't get ourselves out. The captain of our salvation, if you'll allow me, he sailed into spiritual death himself. The perfect picture is Pharaoh's court, where they threw down the rod, which is a type of the cross. What happened to that rod? It became a snake. He didn't just bear sin. He became sin. What did he do? What in Pharaoh's court? He swallowed up all the other. He took all the sin of Adam. And I mean all the sin of Adam's species. We were talking today about even the types and shadows are so perfect all through the whole Bible. But we're talking about when they crossed over into Canaan. You remember the river was at flood stage? You remember what happened when they put their feet into the water? What happened? It rolled back. Did you ever read it? It rolled back all the way to the city of, how many knows? To the city of, what was the name of the city? Somebody? Adam. Jesus didn't come for the salvation of the Jews. He come for the salvation of all the sons of Adam. Glory to God. Even that type and shadow, is that not perfect?
Yes.
He himself, he didn't just solve the circle. He walked off with the circle. He took sin away.
Hallelujah.
And he says, if you want to be free, come and follow me. Come and follow me. We were baptized into his death. And we were raised with him when he was raised to new life. We belong to a, yes, sir. We belong to a species that's not of this world. Those of you that's followed my teachings for years know I've been saying this for years. Meetings like this, we should close the doors, lock them. We should close all the windows. Why? Because meetings like this are for aliens only. You're not of this world. Jesus said, I'm not of this world, and you are not of the world, just like I'm not of the world. And he also said, Father, as thou hast sent me, I am sending them. You are on the same mission to your city that Jesus was on to our world. And we are coming into revival where it's not going to be just the fivefold. Believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The blind will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, the captives will go free. He will save your children. Call upon him. In Jesus' name, he will save your children. I don't care what they need saving from either. Now, most of you know I don't prophesy often. I don't give tongues and interpretation often. I tried to resist this. Up at, be honest with you, that I was trying to talk and tongues kept coming out. Then this interpretation came. This came through me on April 30th at the Dayton conference. But it's the same thing he's saying here. A tongue, and then this interpretation: mysteries hidden, mysteries from the foundation of the world. Brought forward this day by my Spirit in this hour and to this generation to purge the mind of my children from the falseness of the doctrine they have been taught from pulpits with good intentions by men that loved me but deceived by religion, deceived by education, deceived by the ways of this world and not taught by my Spirit. Come up higher, my children. Come up higher. Let my Spirit teach you the things of the realm that you are really from. Excuse me, I got to go pray in tongues now. I'm sorry. What is 1 Corinthians 14? Y'all can sit down. Thank you so much. Give God and Jesus a hand here. What does 1 Corinthians 14:2 say? He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. I'll never forget the first time I heard Dave say, now how many of you think that when you're communicating with God and speaking those mysteries, how many of you think that you are explaining mysteries to God? 22 years later, it's still... No. He is explaining mysteries to you.
Yes.
See, and for a long time, it was things of how to walk more uprightly in this world, who you really are, and he's still talking to us about that, and that you really are free from sin, and no matter, and sickness, and all of those things. But now, really, he is saying, come up higher. If we're going to really... Not if. Sorry. To walk in revival, we have to be taught by a teacher that's not of this world. There's nobody on this planet that can give you what the Holy Spirit can give you. He is the one that's been sent from there. Yes, sir. Previews. Some things he's going to talk about this week. I am going to get to talk some more about the fourth dimension. These are things that mathematically can be proven. Not only can be proven, they are actually used. If you probably don't know this, how many, you ever hear of string theory? One. Okay, that's M theory, which builds on string theory. Jim Martin has a lesson that I listened to after the conference. He proved from the Bible that string theory is true. It's a scientific concept. So let me say it like this. I'll say it a different way. In the fourth dimension, mathematics, yes, sir. Okay, here's what I started to say a while ago. He keeps reminding me. Math, if we could not do math in these other dimensions, we would not have jet engines. They use math from the fourth, fifth, and actually up to, in string theory, up to the 11th dimension in order to produce things that we're very familiar with, like jet engines, turbines, things like that. Okay? In the fourth dimension, things are possible, just like you saw, like there were things possible in the Flatlanders world that were not possible in Linelanders, right? In the fourth dimension, get this, you could take a hollow ball like a basketball, and if you had a red ball in it, a solid red ball inside, in our dimension, how do you get the red ball out? You have to cut open the ball, don't you? Do you know in the fourth dimension, you just reach through the ball and pull it out? Here's another verse from the Bible. Jesus ate a fish, walked through the wall, and to me it's amazing the fish did not slide down the wall. My, what? It's one thing to believe, you know, believe Jesus could walk through the wall, but he ate the fish and then walked through the wall. Somehow the fish got glorified. That realm, that's where we're from. Let me say it another way. You are from there. We keep wanting him to educate our head. My head is from here. I call it earth head. I had a pillow. Earth head, fat head, whatever you want to call it, earth head. That's why he said in 1 Corinthians 2, he says, now, we have received, now that you're born again, we've received not the spirit of the world. That's what unbelievers have. That's what you had before you got saved. Now we have received the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The natural man, he can't. It says they're foolishness to him. He cannot understand them. Why? Because these things are spiritually discerned. And that's why the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he wants to communicate spirit to spirit. He wants to talk to the part of you that's from there. Yes. We're always going, no, talk to my head. No, you'll get that later. Yeah. It's really, I believe, this, I can't really prove this exactly, but I believe what happens there, he's educating your spirit, spirit to spirit. And as you understand things, it's really your spirit that turns around to your head, your mind, and says, okay, now this is what he's been teaching us today. What if we really allowed that spirit, the teacher that's really from there, to teach the part of us that's from there, how to function from there, here? That's exactly what Jesus did. Previews. Hope to see you. Hope you can come. Hope you can come. Hallelujah. I think that's it for this morning.
Hallelujah. How many of you feel real edified? And you don't know why? No, you do know. No, you do know why. My God, is that fantastic or what? Why don't you just stand and lift your hands? Golly, Jesus, thank you, Father. Give him all the praise. We worship you. We glorify you. We glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, if we begin to get this, and it's going to take you opening up that realm inside of you and receiving it in the Spirit and then letting the Spirit begin to teach your mind, we're going to go someplace this week. We really are going to go someplace. Father, we glorify you. Father, we glorify you. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can get this over to the dimension that we need for these days. But we receive this with all thanksgiving and with all our hearts, and we give you all the praise and glory and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. My God, Gary, thank you so much. Fantastic. All the glory to God. Fantastic. Tonight at 7, please do everything you possibly can to be here and be here as much as you can this week. As always, you get the foundation, and the foundation is it begins to build, and it begins to build and build and build, and God builds on top of everything he lays today. So there's going to be a lot of stuff this week, Gary. I'm sure at different times, prompted by the Holy Spirit, we'll maybe have some lines to pray for the sick. And because one of the things that we're talking about, Gary and I, and I'm sure that this is your heart, this is all perfect, and this is taking us to that place. But one day, and that day is now, really, in the heart of God, where it's not going to be just it. We're going to need always the teaching, but we're going to actually take. Paul said the kingdom of God is not just in word only, but it's in the power. So we're going to take, we're going to see that which we're being taught, demonstrated, and we've already seen it. How many of you already know you've seen a lot of miracles? We've seen a lot of miracles take place. Gary's testified to some of those miracles, but we're all of this is laying us a foundation for that place where we're headed. So continue to come this week. It's 7 o'clock tonight, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you. How many had a really, really good time? Amen. Gary said he did. I did too. So give somebody a great big hug and promise yourself that you're going to be here tonight. Amen.